Welcome to Aquarium Tip Tank, podcast number 2. This podcast is all about selecting a tank for your aquarium. Hello, this is TJ from AquariumTipTank.com. I'd like to remind you to go to AquariumTipTank.com and sign up for our free e-updates and newsletter so you can get all of the latest tips and tricks to relaxing and enjoying your home aquarium. Okay, so this is the second podcast. I'm going to get into a few things here. First, let's talk about the podcast a little bit. The first podcast is up and can be found at AquariumTipTank.com under show episodes. It took a little while to get that first one up due to the fact that we recorded the meat of the episode and then had to go back and make an intro song and do some production work. After learning how to do all of that, we are hopefully getting better at it. We should get better every time, and the quality of these podcasts will hopefully improve, and they should be released a little quicker from the time they are recorded. We will also be starting to get these podcasts into iTunes. We wanted to have a few recorded and under our belt before we started submitting them. After doing a little research and things, I have realized that this website and this podcast is probably going to be a little bit more for the beginners in the aquarium hobby at first. You know, I'm starting off by going through how to set things up and get things ready and everything else. And you know, we'll be there on the website in order to help coach people through getting their aquarium set up and going with hopefully some ease and maybe tips and tricks on how to do it a little bit better and cheaper. You know, so it's going to be for new people at first, and I'm somewhat new at it. I've been volunteering at the aquarium for a while, and I have my own that I've been taking care of, but I haven't actually done, you know, a whole time. I haven't been out there doing it like for the 20 years that some of these pros have been doing it, and some of these pros have been looking at all of the crazy different corals and have been out there doing this for years and years and years and years. I'm your basic guy. I'm kind of your basic, you know, family guy that says, okay, I have a tank now that's going all right. I want to show people how to do it. I'm about to set up a new one, and I'm out there, and there's no just set here, you do this. There's no lists. There's no, you know, easy things to just track through and say, okay, this is what I have to do, and this is what I have to go get, and this is what I have to set up, like a checklist, if you will. So that's what I'm going to provide. This podcast will be out there, and as we go through and as we grow together in all this and become experts, you know, I'll start helping the experts out as well, and I'll gain more and gather more information and hopefully do some interviews and be able to figure some of that stuff out with everybody else out there. Okay, so now it's time to start explaining how to pick out a tank for your aquarium. It is somewhat critical to choose your tank wisely. Factors like the tank's construction, size, and shape will have a large impact on the number and types of organisms you can successfully house within it. I only say somewhat because maybe you found a tank in the right price range for you. If that is the case, you will just have to deal with what you have, and with what you have, you'll have to understand that you may be limited to the number and types of organisms that you're able to put in that tank that you got for very cheap or possibly free. I will go on to explaining that the tank that I have that I'm going to set up for everybody and go through and setting it up, you know, throughout this website and throughout this podcast, I got for free. And I got it from my brother-in-law, who was no longer using it. Okay, let's dive right in. First, the things that you're going to have to look at here are the construction of the tank, the size of the tank, the shape of the tank, and the price of the tank. So let's start with the construction. Glass or acrylic. These are the two types of ideally suited tanks. Either way, stay away from metal frames and stands. metal frames and stands will rust. Especially if you're putting salt water into your tank, they'll rust even quicker. Okay, so let's talk about glass tanks for a second. The pros about glass tanks are that they are available in a wide range of sizes, shapes, and designs. They're also relatively inexpensive, and they can be more scratch resistant. I'll get into that here in just a second. The cons of a glass tank are that they are heavy when empty and more likely to shatter and or spring leaks. If you ever have to take a little water out of it and move it to a new location or something, you got to really, really, really watch out. Okay, so acrylic tanks. The pros about acrylic tanks are that they are very shatter resistant, the exact opposite of the glass tank, right? They have excellent thermal insulation. If you experience very cold or very hot or quick changes in temperature, in ambient temperature around your home, your apartment or wherever you live, sometimes having an acrylic tank with very good thermal insulation can help those rapid changes from affecting the water temperature so much. Acrylic tanks also allow more light to pass through, giving better clarity with less image distortion. So the cons of an acrylic tank are basically that they can be more expensive. They have the tendency to be scratched very easily during handling and routine maintenance. Watch out for the algae scrapers is what I say here. There are scrapers that are almost like metal razor things and everything else, and you go and you kind of stick them down on the inside of the tank in order to scrape and clear some algae off the glass from the water side. Sorry, off the acrylic from the water side. And they are much easier to scrape when doing that. You have to be a little bit more careful to make sure that you don't scratch those acrylic tanks. Okay, so that's it about construction. Go ahead out with those pros and cons and, you know, pick and choose whether or not you want to have a glass tank or an acrylic tank. Next, let's talk about size. As big as possible. We'll explain that in a minute, but first, let's pick a spot in your home for this tank. The old adage here, I'll say very quickly, is very true. The bigger tank, the better. Okay, so let's pick a spot and get out a measuring tape. For picking your spot, you should make sure that your floors can support the weight. A gallon of water weighs approximately 8.5 pounds. With all of the equipment, substrate, and decorations, let's go ahead and round it to about 10 pounds per gallon. So the 25-gallon tank that I got for free that I will be setting up will weigh approximately 250 pounds. If you have a 50-gallon tank, that's 500 pounds. If you have a 100-gallon tank, that's a 1,000-pound tank that you will be setting up somewhere. It gets pretty heavy. Okay, have easy access to electrical outlets wherever you want to put your tank. There are a lot of things to plug in. You have to think about your pumps, filters, lights, and heaters. Adding a power strip with a built-in surge protector is great, but you probably don't want to run unsightly extension cords across your floor in order to get the necessary power to your tank. So make sure that there are some that there are some electrical outlets fairly close or behind or on the side of where you want to put your tank or something like that so that you're not running some unsightly cords all over your floor. Also, avoid an area with too much direct sunlight. Natural sunlight is uncontrollable and unreliable when compared to artificial lighting. It can also fuel uncontrollable and unsightly algae blooms and wild temperature fluctuations. Temperature fluctuations may also occur if the tank is too close to heating and cooling vents, registers, or space heaters. Now, you know, honestly, having it in direct sunlight isn't going to affect it all that much. You're going to have many more lights on top of it that provide much more light right directly to your tank than any sunlight really will. But it is, you know, nice to know that if you do have any algae breakouts or anything like that, that it's not from the fact that it's getting direct sunlight all of the time. And the temperature fluctuations can also be a pretty big thing. You don't want to have it, you know, too close to, you know, windows that will, that might change. It might be very, very cold in a corner of your house next to a window in the wintertime, even though the rest of your house is fairly warm. I have some experience with the house getting cold, the heater breaking all at the same, for the aquarium breaking all at the same time, and my tank going from 78 degrees to 62 degrees. Not a fun project to try and clean up, and you're running around hassling to get another heater and things like that. Okay, finally, consider the aesthetic impact that you want your aquarium to have as a beautiful piece of decoration in your home. As decorative as you may want your tank to be, it also may be wise to place the tank where it is not a, where there is not a constant flow of foot traffic. Some fish are stressed and scared by excessive activity in the area surrounding the aquarium, and this may lead to fish that are more prone to disease. You may want you and your family and your guests to be able to view the tank, but not be in such a busy area that it creates unwanted stress on the livestock. Also, make sure it is a comfortable space for you to maintain, enjoy, and relax while you enjoy the interactions of the beautiful organisms that you will have in this aquarium. So basically, make sure it's comfortable enough for you to get your hands around and work in. You know, you will be there, you will be scraping some things out, you will be adding water and testing and doing some water tests and things like that, and doing water changes at least every 2 weeks, we hope. And for that, you need a little bit of room. You can't be so cramped in there that it's not comfortable for you to get in there. So have a space that is that everybody can kind of see this beautiful piece and these beautiful organisms that you have, that people can sit back and relax and you know, sit in a chair, maybe in a library or an office somewhere that you have in your house or something like that, where there's not a ton of traffic coming through, but people, and right next to the tank, but people do see it in your house. And, you know, maybe it's some place where you go, you sit back, relax, you put your feet up, and you read a book while the fish are, while you enjoy the fish. Or maybe you just sit there and watch the fish. That's one of the most relaxing things ever. Okay. Now that you've picked the spot, get out a measuring tape and write down the maximum size and dimensions possible that you can fit in that spot. We say maximum size because in this case, like I said earlier, bigger is definitely better. It is much easier to maintain water quality and avoid problems in a bigger tank simply because there's more water to dilute any pollutants or toxic byproducts. Some of these pollutants and toxic byproducts are natural, such as decomposing fish waste, fish food, and possibly overfeeding, overstocking, and the normal metabolic process of the organisms in the tank. In a large tank with larger water volume, the degradation of water quality due to these issues is much less dramatic. Water quality problems also take more time to develop. Therefore, you will have a greater opportunity to correct and counteract those issues before they become dangerous. Of course, a smaller tank is just the opposite and contains less water for your aquarium to dilute any of the pollutants or problems that may occur. Just as a hypothetical example, let's say that 1 gallon of water in your aquarium were to have quality issues. This could be natural pollutants, fluctuations in temperature, salinity, pH, etc. A 10-gallon tank would only have 9 other good gallons of water to help dilute and take care of the issue. A 100-gallon tank would have 99 other gallons of water, of good water. I would bet that the 100-gallon tank aquarium would dilute and solve the problem on its own, while the 10-gallon tank may degrade and to dangerous proportions. However, as I said earlier, get the biggest tank that you have room for and that you can afford. This is not to say that you can't take care of a smaller tank and that there are some very, very, very small tanks out there, some mini reefs, some starter mini tanks that are run absolutely perfectly and run absolutely great and have such great water quality, and that everything in there is happy and beautiful and thriving. So pick the tank that's right for you. Just know that normally, especially for beginners, a bigger tank and more water is actually easier to keep better water quality in than a smaller tank. Okay, so let's move on and talk about the shape. For the shape, it's the shorter, the better. Basically, I'm trying to get the newbies out there to pick a big, long, rectangular tank that is short. So it's a wide but short, big aquarium tank. Okay, so there are several different tank shapes that are offered for an aquarium. There are triangular, cylindrical, hexagonal, octagonal, and other irregularly shaped aquarium tanks. Then there's the fairly plain and normal, wider than it is tall, rectangular aquarium tank. These are the ones I'm trying to get the beginners to buy. Hint, hint. As good as they may look, most of those irregularly shaped tanks are taller than they are wide. There are a few issues with this. First, most fish like to swim in a particular water column, close to the ground, in the middle, or at the surface. If a tank is tall and skinny, those fish won't have much room to swim around and live in their water column that they like to live in. Second, if you have plants or sessile invertebrates that enjoy light, it is much more difficult to get enough light to penetrate to the bottom of your tall tank where some of those organisms may be positioned. Finally, taller tanks have a poor water volume to surface area ratio. Basically, the interface between the aquarium's water surface and the ambient air is much smaller than it is with a rectangular tank of the same volume. In order to achieve proper oxygenation and to vent noxious gases from the system, a tank must have proper gas exchange between the water and the air. So that would make sense that the gas exchange is reduced in a taller tank with poor volume to surface area ratio. Basically, the taller tank has less room at the top where the water is basically in contact with the air, so there's less venting of noxious gases that's able to take place in those taller tanks. In a rectangular tank, it's much wider. There's a lot of surface area right there where the water meets the air, and there's a lot of available space and air going by there and things to get noxious gases out of the fish tank. Therefore, a large rectangular aquarium tank is probably best for beginners. Hey, but this is not to say that you can't have an awesome aquarium no matter what shape or size your tank is. As I said earlier, there are tanks out there that are all sorts of different shapes and sizes. You can get the small tank that's really tall, and if you take care of it right, everything in there will look absolutely beautiful. You do have to do some research into knowing what types of organisms that can go and that you can house and make live well in that tank. Okay, so the last thing is price. Do you want to get your tank at a garage sale for free on Craigslist? Or do you want to go out and get the most expensive tank possible because you have a guarantee that it'll work? Everybody wants to pay less for a great product, right? Well, there are several ways to look at this. The problem with garage sale tanks are that you don't really know what you're getting. The tank may have some leaks. The tank may have invisible chemicals and pollutants encrusted around the entire surface. My advice, you can get a tank this way, but make sure you do your due diligence. Sometimes also, if it was used for a fresh water tank beforehand, the people may have used copper in there, or copper may have been used in their drugs to keep their fish from getting sick. If they had any sick fish, they might have used some additives that have copper in them. Well, that copper may have gotten all over the sides of the inside of the tank. And if you're trying to make a saltwater tank out of that, that copper can be very destructive to the animals that you're trying to keep in a saltwater tank. And that copper is just there, and there's not a very easy way to get it out. You can do it and just see what happens, though. My advice, again, would be to do your due diligence. If you can, fill the tank up and test it for leaks. If it is free, take it home and test it. If it doesn't work, you're just throwing it out for those people that didn't want to throw it out themselves. But if it does work, you just got a free tank. The tank I'm going to be setting up, again, was a tank that my sister and brother-in-law were using just a year or two ago. They decided they didn't want it anymore, and it was sitting down in their basement. They gave me the tank and all of the equipment. I may have to go get some more equipment or change some of it out to suit my needs and the livestock that I want to keep. But it's a start, and it was free. Next, I'll have to fill the tank up, let it sit for a while, and make sure there are no leaks. I'll have to thoroughly clean it out and do my due diligence to set the tank up. So there are drawbacks to this in the fact that it might take a little bit more time and effort, but in the end, you will spend less money. On the other hand, you can go to your local fish dealer and find the brand new returnable tank and tank stand combo with the limited time guarantee. You know that it'll work. You know that nobody else has put anything in it that'll destroy whatever you're trying to keep in that tank. And you can go get that tank, and it's a little bit easier and a little bit quicker. You might just spend more money. My advice, if you're going to do that, is just shop around and find the right price point for you personally. But there are always ways to keep things somewhat inexpensive. Okay, and that's basically it for picking out a tank for yourself. Let's sum some things up here and go over some quick things. So the main things you need to be concerned about are the construction, glass or acrylic, the spot in your home that you're going to put your tank in, and the maximum allowable dimensions of that space, the shape of your tank, and the price. So I suggest that you write down all of your parameters and choices and go get a tank for your aquarium. Also, go ahead and come on over to aquariumtiptank.com and sign up for our free email, e-newsletter, and e-updates to get more of these tips and tricks for your aquarium. Come on over. It's all free. Check us out, and I will be constantly trying to update that site with great new content. And again, some of this content might just be for the beginners so far, but it's a way for you to get it and listen to things, either listen to things or read about things or whatever way that you want to do it. And you can go on there. You can sign up for our email list at aquariumtiptank.com. And if you want to contact us, you're even able to send us an email. Okay, thanks a lot. That is podcast number 2 on selecting your aquarium tank. And I will talk to everybody next time. Have a great few days and enjoy those fish. Talk to you soon. What?